Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, I hope, this morning.
Yeah, I just took the relish with which you said Friday. It's probably your favourite word of the week.
Well, us journos, of course, will be following the voting this weekend. And some of us, including the lovely Shane Beattie, will be working at the weekend, watching the tallies and the tally men. And it's mostly tally men as they watch the results coming in. I presume you're not going to be watching that.
No, not at all. We've a big family event, a much-loved nephew coming home from Australia with his fiancée. So that's the main focus there, and it takes the world away from macro and everything else for a nice change.
Okay, and now let's move on to the Irish GDP, which came in, which returned to growth in Q1.
Exactly. That is a good story in general, but I think you've heard any number of times, there isn't a one number summary of what happens in the Irish economy. I think the broad message for this is things are getting better, but they're still uneven after what was a difficult year. So we see that GDP was up 0.9%. It's down 6.5% year on year. Not a great measure of what's happening in the economy. Mm. What's happening in the domestic economy, again, up 1.4% on the quarter, only up 1.1% on the year, so not run away. And if you look at the breakdown of sectors, industry was down 6.5% on the quarter, construction down 4.9% on the quarter, financial services down 3.7% on the quarter. Now, other sectors, ICT was up 3.4%, distribution and accommodation, and that up 0.9%. So mixed picture, but getting better after what's a difficult 2023 for many sectors of the economy and likely to remain bumpy for some time to come.
Of course, we only look, that's only for one quarter. We should kind of look at things in the round. And in the round, would you say that the economy is bubbling along?
Bubbling is probably too strong a word. It is bumping along and it is getting better. And you see that in terms of the some of the details of these numbers and also in the tax numbers that come through yesterday. So they're pointing as well towards an economy that's improving. Income tax, VAT, excise, all doing well. But the standout from that particular story is a big bounce in corporation taxes in May. These were the numbers for the first 5 months of the year, but May obviously is the new figure in that. And they show a big bounce in corporation taxes in May, up 31% on May last year. So the corporate sector and the multinational sector in Ireland definitely on the mend. Shows how volatile these numbers are, shows how much we depend on corporation taxes, but by and large, again, a picture of an improving economy. I would note this, something we don't tend to look at quite as frequently, public spending numbers there. Investment up 52% year on year, which we badly need in so many areas of infrastructure. But again, that dwarfed by an increase in current spending, which is about $1 billion ahead of target. So issues around the control of public spending and how wisely we do things. I think all these numbers tell of an economy that has great potential, but we need to get policies better and we need to get policies consistent over the next couple of years to keep the economy on track and to share out the benefits widely across sectors and households.
Isn't the issue really capacity? The fact that we're at full employment in economic terms and that you can only build so much stuff given the amount of workforce that these construction companies have available and planning constraints and all that stuff. Capacity is what's holding the economy back, I would have thought.
I think it's an element, but I don't think it's overriding. If people have been talking about us being at full employment for 4 or 5 years, but we've added a couple of 100,000 of people to work over that time. The labour force has increased significantly. In the latest GDP numbers, construction is actually down, as I say, 6.5%. So I do think there is scope to improve further, and the capacity is going to be a constraint in some areas. But this idea that we can and should do nothing because we're at full employment and full capacity, I think that's a Luddite sort of idea in terms of how a modern economy runs.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's move to the thing that will impact a lot of people in terms of their monthly costs, and that, of course, is the cost of borrowing, especially if they have a mortgage. The Eurozone. The president of the Eurozone, Christine Lagarde, has cut rates, as expected. So I suppose the real story, Austin, is if she hadn't cut rates, there would have been a story, or if she had cut by more than 25 basis points, there would have been a story.
Exactly. The real story yesterday was how she explains that they had decided to cut rates in spite of the fact that their new forecasts show inflation and growth slightly higher this year and next than their previous forecasts. So if they didn't cut back then, why are they cutting now? And they said it's because the general inflation outlook is improving. And it is. I think that's a reasonable story that, you know, the surge in energy and food prices is significantly behind us, not entirely, but significantly behind us. And consequently, inflation pressures should ease. And the one thing that the ECB have done by tightening rates, because I don't think they've done anything to energy and food prices, but they've brought down, you know, the inclination to borrow in Europe. Borrowing by households across the Eurozone is up just 0.3% on a year ago. Corporations, exactly the same. So what you're seeing here is, you know, companies and households not borrowing. And I think you do need to see both of those borrowing a little bit more across Europe in order to have an improving prospect for growth in Europe and in Ireland there. So in terms of Irish mortgage holders, if you're a tracker mortgage holder, great news immediately. For variable rate holders, so far we've had very little white smoke on that. And I think it is probably going to require further rate cuts to actually drive variable mortgages down in general. And that was the sting in the tail yesterday, that the ECB were less inclined to say that there will be aggressive cuts in the months to come. And consequently, financial markets expect maybe one or two for the remainder of the year, a little less than they expected before the ECB announcement yesterday.
Yeah, and she said, President Lagarde said, she's not pre-committing to a particular rate path. That was basically saying, well, you guys are expecting two more this year. Maybe you might get that wrong. And finally, I see Bloomberg have a piece about wholesale gas prices.
This is an extraordinary story, and it just warns how fragile a lot of these things. It's that we've had a pipe leak in Norway, and they said that helicopters have arrived at the, I think I'm pronouncing it right, Sleipner or Sleipner platform, 250 kilometers off the coast of Norway, to repair a small crack in a pipeline that is the width of a golf ball, and it caused European gas prices to surge to their highest level this year. And it tells you how fragile the energy balance is and how fragile sort of the general economic outlook is, you know, related to energy. So that is a warning there. And it's also maybe a warning that in terms of let's get our spending on infrastructure here, you know, focus so we can rely less on imported gas in the future. So all these things tend to be related. And I think it would be terrible to end on a gloomy note, but it is a fragile improvement. And there are still a lot of things for policy to get right, not least interest rate policy, but more important, infrastructure policy to get our economy continuing to grow in the years ahead.
Thanks very much, Austin. Have a lovely party for your nephew. Have you killed the fattened calf?
It's out in the garden just ready now.
Austin, have a lovely weekend.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.